there was ever like an amazing rollout of tapas, every possible different kind of dish, but just a bite of each, that would be, you know, what's going on in the CD overall.
That's violist Sarah Darling. She's part of the Boston-based ensemble A Far Cry. Recently, I talked with Sarah and violinist Jesse Irons about their brand new recording. It's called Visions and Variations, and you'll hear about it next on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Elmacher. First of all, Sarah and Jesse, tell me, what is A Far Cry? And if you can just kind of give me a little definition of this ensemble.
Sure. A Far Cry is a 17-person unconducted string orchestra. It was formed 11 years ago. We're currently embarking on our 12th season together. What makes A Far Cry interesting is, a few things. We don't have a conductor, so while we do consider ourselves an orchestra, we sort of ride that line between a small orchestra and maybe the world's biggest string quartet, in that we all treat it as chamber music. We're playing with each other. We're playing without a conductor. Also, people commonly remark that it's striking to watch us perform. One of the things we've discovered about 10 minutes into our first rehearsal, 11, 12 years ago, was that we sound a lot better when we're standing up. So we have no chairs, except for the cellists. And so there's almost a kind of a dance that happens on stage.
We've been compared to a flock of birds, which is one that I like a lot. And picking up from what Jesse's been describing, it's very true that we don't have centralized artistic leadership, but what that means is, in effect, that we have 17 artistic directors. And for every piece that we perform, the leadership model changes just slightly. In other words, we're always empowering each other to take on sometimes very hefty leadership roles. And when person X is driving the boat, the rest of us are enthusiastically paddling. Then, you know, you move to the next piece and suddenly it's person Y that's driving. And that has been amazing because it just opens you up to an incredible cornucopia of different artistic perspectives and really even of sounds. When you have a certain group of principals in front, you'll get one sound for a Mozart divertimento, and when you bring in a different principal group, bam, you know, the sound goes from opaque to light. It goes, you know, from sensuous to chiseled, and everything switches around.
So how did you come up with the name for the ensemble?
Well, the short answer is we voted. many things, we have a series of discussions and roundtables, brainstorming sessions, came up with a list of good candidates. I think the reason A Far Cry won that ancient vote is because it's a little bit of an ambiguous name. I think it means something slightly different to everyone in the orchestra. And certainly there's sort of the surface meaning of the phrase, a far cry from ... Who knows? And there was the sense from the beginning that we wanted to do something a little bit differently. We wanted to, the musicians were coming together to do something for themselves and in a way that felt very authentic and personal.
A nice fringe benefit of the name of Far Cry is that it means that we can be criers. So, the members of the ensemble are often referred to as criers, and sometimes a group of us will be the criers. We'll be out there saying, hear ye, Mozart at 8 o'clock.
Seriously? You really do that?
No. We don't say, hear ye, Mozart at 8 o'clock. But we do. I mean, but we are serious criers insofar as each one of us is tasked very specifically with, you know, spreading the good news.
Thank you. Well, let's dive into your latest journey, which is a recording called Visions and Variations, and it's on your own label.
That's right. We felt it was very important to start our own label just so that we could have really full control over every aspect of the recording process. Musicians, and the Criers are no exception, tend to be control freaks, and we like things just so. But this way, we can program exactly the music that we want in exactly the way we want it. We can present it exactly the way we want it. And we got some great feedback. Our initial recording, actually, on Cry Records was nominated for a Grammy that year, which was extremely gratifying. And we've tried to continue from that auspicious start on to today with our latest, which is Visions and Variations.
Which opens up with Britten's Variations on a theme by Frank Bridge, which was his teacher. Why is this work a good fit for the Criers?
Oh my gosh. This is a piece that we love performing. And it's a piece that we've had sort of a very long relationship with, presented it several times and have really sort of grown and lived with the piece. I think the short answer as to why it works so well with a Far Cry is, remember just a second ago I was talking about this whole diversity of colors and of feelings that you sort of get as you empower a lot of different people to lead. Although there's only one set of principles in the Britten, each one of the variations is so specific. In the way that it just conjures up a really colorful and complete world. I think for us, kind of being able to turn on a dime, being able to sort of be in each other's shoes, and push each other to really experience these kind of artistic extremes. That's just, you know, you start playing the Britten and you feel like the composer is right there with you, challenging you to just, you know, give the best and the most complicated music that you got in you.
This has become a crowd favorite when you perform it live. Why do you think that is?
It's really pretty. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding. It's gorgeous. You know what happens in the Britten over the course of the variations, which is so great. And I think really every truly great set of variations does this. You sort of start with a theme. And like you live with it and you see it transform itself into like a cute little romance. And then you see it transform itself into a terrifying march. And then you see it transform itself into a boozy evening in Vienna. And by the time you get to the end, it's sort of moved into really serious territory, funeral march, and then a sort of a farewell chant. And then Britten just pulls out the stops. Throws a fugue at you. intersperses the theme into sort of the most ecstatic version of the fugue. And then sort of as you're reeling from the energy and the complexity of it all, the very last thing that happens is, you know, he rolls back the ceiling. You look up and you see, you know, the stars coming in. And it's just the most satisfying ending.
It really does fit the ensemble beautifully. And I was thinking the sound of this recording, there's like a crispness to it, yet a really lush quality to the ensemble. And I'm curious how you accomplish that.
You know, I think we alternately go for something super crisp and something very lush. And yeah, occasionally at the same time. And Asra, how we accomplish that, it's as much a mental game. It's a process of over the years living with this work. You know, if we worked on this piece 6 years ago and performed it, there's something that a second violinist mentioned in that rehearsal 6 years ago that still has a profound impact on us today as we record this piece and as we present it in its latest form. And I think that's where you can hear the layers, the history. And when you hear, you know, the contrasting, the lushness, the crispness, and everything else, I think you're really hearing a history of a far cry and of our experience living with this piece. And I, you know, we're not done. We've recorded it now, and we've set it down for posterity, hopefully. But we're not going to stop living with it and seeing it evolve and grow.
There is a world premiere on this recording created by another violinist in your ensemble, Ethan Wood. And what a wonderful new life Ethan brings to this familiar melody by Mozart.
Oh man, this was the happiest of happy accidents, and it has transformed into something that we are just so super delighted about. So a few years ago, we were working on a program, the theme of which was childhood, and one of our violinists was putting this program together and thought it would be great to include the Mozart variations. We thought, well, you know, who should arrange them? And Ethan was somebody who we all knew and who'd played often with the ensemble. And we thought, okay, we'll reach out to him. You know, this would be lovely. And we expected to get back a relatively serviceable and witty version of the Mozart. But Ethan, perhaps kind of because of his knowledge of A Far Cry and his experience with the group, instead wrote something which, well, it's defined as a folktale that features characters created by Mozart. And every single person in the ensemble has their own unique part. And with that in mind, it's a fiendishly difficult piece to rehearse. And I think that part of where Ethan got this sort of crazy idea from is he's been living a really interesting life doing a lot of improv comedy and thinking about sort of form and how people and personalities can influence each other. All of which is to say, we get this piece, we are just like, our socks are blown off. We start to rehearse it, we realize just how hard and at the same moment just how brilliant it is. And I think we knew kind of even then that we had to bring it to the widest possible audience so that people could just luxuriate in this craziness.
Now, was this originally a piece just for piano?
Yes, the original was written for solo piano.
Mm-hmm. So he's fluffed it out a bit, shall we say. And
Oh, there are a couple layers, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fun, but there's also some mystery in there. I hear a sense of mystery in some of the movements.
Absolutely. Ethan is a guy with many facets and sides, and Far Cry as well is a constellation of personalities, all hopefully coming together to make something greater than the sum of its parts. Yeah, there's darkness in there, there's mystery, there's irreverence, there's fun, there's beauty, there's sensuality, and it's just he starts with Mozart, and the first few variations are pretty literal transcriptions. Even some of the first kind of laugh moments where an audience will typically chuckle, there's some kind of off-key interjections and funny notes here and there. Those are actually straight from the Mozart. But Ethan, just managed to take that as an inspiration and just go incredibly far places and really profound places. And yeah, it's just a piece we adore.
Do you have like a favorite variation or a favorite section that you'd like us to sort of bring to the forefront?
Gosh, I think we both have the same favorite variation.
Well, perhaps. I love where it gets low and slow and just gorgeous. What do you think, Sarah?
I think whenever Ethan gets low and slow, it's tremendous. The penultimate variation to me is just sort of one of these moments where the aliens show up.
I also noted there's a really fun variation that I literally had this vision of cats sitting on a fence late at night, you know, as the violins kind of started off, and they almost like a little yowling effect there. Do you recall that?
Oh yeah, there's some little slides. Yeah, they're very much like little meows. Yeah,
yes.
I love that one too.
Yeah.
I love that image of the cat sitting on the fence.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Let's dive into the Prokofiev piece.
Visions fugitive.
So literally sort of fugitive visions, fleeting visions. Visions that are with you and then gone.
And these are new arrangements by a far cry.
The majority of the string variations were actually written by Rudolf Fauchet. But he didn't arrange all of them. And we thought, well, why the heck not? And so in this recording, we asked Triers to take the remaining variations and arrange them so that we finally have, you know, the first full complete set. And Jesse, I believe you did one of those.
I did one of them, the 17th one, Poetico.
Mm.
Yeah, the piece was originally a set of 20 visions for solo piano. And yeah, Barshai arranged 15 of them for Moscow Chamber Orchestra. And so we took it upon ourselves to arrange the remaining five.
Word has it that each one of these visions was actually inspired by a friend or an acquaintance of Prokofiev's. There's this great sense as you're working on them, you can sort of see a shadowy figure in the distance. And you're kind of reaching out to see what that figure had to offer.
We actually, in the course of rehearsing this piece, assigned all of the variations to different individual criers that were playing in the orchestra, just because that was the original intent of the piece, that they're little caricatures, little quick musical studies of his friends and acquaintances. And it really helps to, you know, to have a person in mind, and it might be that one of the variations really perfectly fits one of the players. But it also works equally well to pair a variation with a crier, with a musician, in an unexpected way, because then you're like, oh, there's a layer in there that perhaps we don't know about. And I don't know, we had some fun with it.
Well, it's interesting because you're talking about how you each kind of took on a character role in this piece, and didn't the same thing happen in the Mozart variations?
And there you have the conceit of the CD. In a lot of ways, when we put the CD together, it's crazy, actually. There are, I think we counted, there's something like 45 little variations or snippets or visions that run through the CD. So, like, if there was ever, like, an amazing rollout of tapas, every possible different kind of dish, but just a bite of each, that would be, you know, what's going on in the CD overall. And we thought that would be an amazing challenge, to keep all of those different dishes hot at the same time.
It also felt very fitting that we should release an album like this as an orchestra and who we are. There's definitely some parallel between having all of these strong characters and all of these great personalities mashed up next to each other. And at first, you might not know quite what you're going to get out of what is the result of all of this, these strong personalities. And at the end of the day, you get to the final vision, you get to the final variation in the Britten or in Ethan's Mozart elaboration, and it just feels right. It feels like you've journeyed, you know us. You know the musicians, you've gotten to know the individuals, but if you stand back and look at the totality, man, there's something amazing that happens. When you give each little piece of something, each individual musician, the honor and the care that they deserve, and the end result can be something very special.
That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julie Amacher.